the Lord. All right, why not smile at your neighbor and say, neighbor, good to see you, as you take your seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in God's presence today? Are you sure? How has been your week? Praise the Lord. The Lord God that has brought you will bless you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right, let's jam our eyes once again together for the choir. They were in the spirit this morning. They must have seen my lecture notes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, the topic of my message today is born to win. Born to what? To win. Born to win. Hallelujah. I wanted to continue in our flow. And the Holy Spirit said, pause now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say, let's talk about this. Let's settle this issue. I want to settle it today. Hallelujah. Born to win. Born to win. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. That's going to be my anchor scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Immediately after that service last week, the Lord just told me, He just gave me this scripture. Praise Jesus. He just gave me this scripture. And I just read it and I understood where He was taking me to. I knew what He wanted me to do with this scripture. And I began to meditate on this scripture. And I began to meditate on this scripture. And, you know, I was praying about this scripture. And then on Thursday, went to the place of prayer. When I came back, I just slept. And then I had a dream. And in that dream, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Hallelujah. I said three things in this scripture. I was hearing it clearly. It was teaching me. I was just smiling. Praise the Lord. So I rose up and I quickly penned them down. Hallelujah. Now let's look at this scripture. The Bible says, for what? For whatsoever. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, this is the original text. Now, if you see modern translations, many of them will say whosoever, right? But the original text says, whatsoever. Whatsoever. Do you understand the meaning of that? You are included. Your business is included. Your finances is included. Your life is included. Your car is included. Anything that has to do with you, God looked at it and summed it up as whatsoever. And the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God. Now, if you don't want to cram any scripture in June, cram this. And begin to tell yourself, every blessed day. The Bible didn't say, just anyhow. He said, he was deliberate with this statement. Now, I've told you the story behind this man that wrote this scripture, right? Before. That's Apostle John. You remember? John the Beloved. That was the only apostle of Jesus. You remember? The only apostle of Jesus that was not martyred, that was not killed. He was the only one. Bible story told us that he lived to be well over 100. That's why all his writings, every time you read his writings, every time you read his writing, he will be saying, my young children, my small children, I write to you children. You'll be wondering, you think he was teaching Bible Sunday school? No. As at the time he was writing this, Bible scholars told us that he was well above 100. So even he was talking to 90-year-old men, he was talking to them and calling them children. Hallelujah. Why? Because he was very, very old. They said, when he comes to church, they carry him. He will just sit down. They said, the only thing he did at the time was what? He will just say the benediction. He wrote the book of John. But by the time he started writing the book of 1 John, you will discover that very short words. Short words. He was no longer writing lengthy words. He was an old man. He couldn't talk much again. Very old. He was the only one that he couldn't kill. They tried to assassinate him. He refused to die. Bible history told us that there was a time they put hot oil on fire. And they put him inside hot oil. And they covered it and sealed it up overnight. The following day, when they came, they opened. They said, by now he will have been properly done. They wanted to use him for pepper soup. They opened the pot and then he just stepped out. I said, good morning to you all. The Lord bless you. Jesus said, he loves you. Ah! Hallelujah. They did everything. They couldn't kill him. Then they said, Kai, this is what we are going to do for him. Let's banish him so that he doesn't stay around. Because every time he will open his mouth, we talk. They said, carry him to the island of Patmos. Go and dump him there. He's an old man. He will die there. And the island of Patmos, we are told, is one of the most deadly, or the deadliest island on earth. Because it was inhabited by snakes and other dangerous animals. It's not all these popular snakes you see around, hallelujah, that you still use venom. They are the type of snakes that when they bite a man, give the man 5 seconds, he's a dead man. So they took him to the island of Patmos, and they threw him to the island of Patmos. They carried him, tied him up, took him to the island of Patmos, threw him at a particular place, and then they ran away. Hallelujah. Bible history told us that the people that threw him in on the island got lost. They didn't know their way out of the island. So they were busy looking for their way out of the island. They were lost on the island. And they just met John. John said, my little children. He said, old man, you won't die. He said, I won't die. He said, so you are finding your way home. Let me take you home. And they didn't want to die there. So they followed him home. They said, please don't tell the authority that you are back home. Hallelujah. They could not kill him. Now, I'm driving at somewhere this morning. So when he sat down, hallelujah. If somebody has traveled before, maybe he has been to Ilori. Are you listening to me? Before. And then you just sat down and then you were talking. Or let's even say he has been to Abuja before. I traveled with some people, they said they have not been to Abuja before. Hallelujah. So we were just in the car. You know, if I sit them down and I tell them that when you get to Abuja, there is a particular place where you get to in Abuja. Hallelujah. If you get to that place and you come down, Abuja is London. Said if you stand on that place like this, something will just carry you up. Then you just go up. Then you can pick a star. You can touch stars and you can pick them and put them in your pocket and then it will bring you back. So you know what they will do? They say, wow. You know why? They have never been to Abuja before. So if I tell them, you understand? They might not believe it, but they will know that deep down, they won't argue with me. You know why they will not argue? Because they have not been to Abuja before. So this man might be telling us lie. But actually, hey, this thing doesn't look real. No. Star, touch, pick, put in pocket. Pastor. Say, but we have not cuckoo beat. Have you been to Abuja before? You know what they will do? They will keep quiet. We have not cuckoo beat to Abuja before. Isn't it? They can't argue with me. Why? Because I am talking from a particular depth. You know where I'm talking from? I'm talking from the depth of what? Of revelation, experiential knowledge. If I'm telling them that, look, I was there. I pick a star. And they say, Pastor, then I bring one star, something out. And I said, look at it. He said, this thing is black. He said, it's a dead star. Yeah. Will they argue with me? Huh? So the man that wrote this verse said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Where is he talking from? He's talking from a depth of experience. You say, I'm in soup. How many people have said it before? I'm in trouble. How many people have said it before? You have said it before. You understand? But have you been inside hot oil, burnt overnight before? Eh? No. Have you been to the island of Patmos before? No. Somebody that has been there said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Why? He has been there. There is nothing they have thrown at him that he didn't come out of. Nothing. So such a man says, sit down. Whatsoever is born of God. Is that your ministry? He said, yes. You remember? When Jesus was about to die, he handed over the mother. To who? To this same man, Apostle John. He said, take care of my mom. You remember? He was the one that took the mother of Jesus, Mary, and preserved and protected her. Jesus knew that this guy, John, is unconquerable. And John proved it over and over. There was none of those apostles that was not killed except him. They could not. There was nothing they tried that succeeded against him. So if such a man now tells you that for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And even, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Do you listen to that kind of a man? Can you argue with him? No. He has been there. He knows what he's talking about. He was not drunk. He's talking from a position of experience. Why? Because there is nothing you are going through. There is nothing you can go through that can be equivalent to what he has been through. And he said, I came out of it all. I overcame. Now, the Holy Spirit told me there are three key components here. And we're going to talk along those three lines. Number one, there is a price. And the price is to overcome the world. That's number one. There is a price. There is something to be overcome. And what is that thing? It is called the world. Now, the word world here is the Greek word cosmos. Is the Greek word what? Cosmos. And when the Bible talks about cosmos, the Bible is not talking about our physical world, our land. It's not talking about Mina. It's not talking about Abuja. No. In fact, the closest in the Greek is the word aeon. What does that mean? It means the systematized oppression of the devil. The oppressions of the devil. So when you see the word world there, quickly check it in the Greek so that you know what it's talking about. It's not talking about a physical place. It's not talking about land. No. It's talking about the demonic oppressions of hell that comes up against the man. He calls it the world. He said, there is nothing the devil can concoct. There is nothing the devil can chew at a man that he cannot overcome. The Bible calls it the world. Hallelujah. So the price is what? To overcome the world. Are you following me this morning? Now that's number one thing you should know and have at the back of your mind. So there is a world. And the world is what? The operations of darkness. That is how the devil does what he does. The systematized operation of the devil. His modus operandi and his modus vivendi is what is called the world. Hallelujah. So he's not talking about physical land now. He's talking about the operations of darkness. The same thing where we say the way God operates is what? He's a God of kingdom. He operates by kingdoms in this kingdom. So the kingdom operations are the operations of God. That's why I said I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. So the same way the keys that the devil uses is called the world. The world. That's number one thing you should know. And number two thing you should know is this. There is a tool for conquering the devil. John told us. So there is a tool. There is a tool. And the name of that tool is called what? Faith. There is a tool. He said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So faith is what? What we use as a weapon, as a tool, as an equipment to overcome the world. Hallelujah. And the third thing the Holy Spirit told me here, which I want to talk about briefly now, is called the qualification. The what? The qualification. In the book of Genesis, there was a time when Lot, the nephew of Abraham, was captured. You remember that story? The Bible says, and Abraham armed his men, 318 trained servants from his house. He armed them, and then they went to fight, and they brought back Lot. Now, every soldier that is going to war needs what? Needs to be trained. Every soldier needs to qualify before he can be enrolled in the army to go to war. He must be trained. And that soldier has what he needs to accomplish. There is a vision. There is a mission. They tell him, this is what you should do in your battalion. This is what we want you to achieve. You remember? You know that? And then they don't send a soldier to the war front without a tool. They will give him a tool. Either they give him machine guns, they give him whatever. You understand? They give him bullets and all that. Those are what? Those are the tools that they kit him with. No soldier will be sent to war without these three things. And the Holy Spirit showed me. He said, so there are three components there. There is what to overcome. That's the price. Hallelujah. There is the tool to use, which is our faith. And number three, there is what? There is a qualification. And let's talk about that qualification. Hallelujah. What is the qualification? The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God. And that's the qualification. And what is that qualification? To be born of God. To be born of what?
Of God.
To be born
of God.
Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let me show you the first man. This guy was born of God. The Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. And the Bible says, so God created, he birthed, he gave birth to man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. He gave birth to a man. He created him. He birthed the man. That man was born of God. And then he now told that man that was born of God. Look at what he told him in verse 28. He said, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth. Two key words. He said, subdue and have dominion. A combination of subdue and have dominion is what is called overcome. To overcome means to overpower. To overcome means to bring under. Hallelujah. He didn't say he killed. To eat, you understand? He didn't say for whatsoever is born of God does what? He said overcome the world. He didn't say he killed the world. No. He said he overcome. He subdued. He had dominion over everything the enemy threw at him. He said, so subdue and have dominion. Hallelujah. And then he now looked at it. How will this guy do it? Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Wow. I read a Bible commentary, and that analogy has never left me. It has never left me. And every time I remember it, even if I'm down in my spirit, I rose up like a giant on the inside. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you think pastor is superhuman. Pastors cry. Pastors are human too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you know what that guy said in that in that commentary? He said, when God created man, and man was there, but what something happened in this Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. The Bible says, and God breath into man, and man became a living soul. He said, when Adam rose up after he received the breath of God, he said, the heavens and the earth bowed down in confusion. You know why they became confused? He said, the heavens and the earth became confused. Everywhere there was confusion and pandemonium. You know why there was pandemonium? They could not differentiate Adam from God. When God rose up and Adam rose up, they were identical, perfect identical. The angel said, which one is our God? Hey, I'm bringing something into you, a dimension in the spirit. I want you to understand who you are in the spirit. He said, all the angels bow in confusion. He said, there was pandemonium on earth. Everybody was running helter-skelter. Now we have two gods. He said, which one? He's our God. Why? Because the Adam received something. And what Adam received made him, transformed him. You remember, Genesis chapter 1 just told us, and God said, let us make man in our own image. So they made man, they battered him in their own image and after their own likeness. You understand? And man there, in Genesis chapter 1, we were not told that he became a living soul. You remember? We were not told that he became a living soul. And that is why, if you are not born again, hallelujah, you know you have been asking yourself that question. Abi, Now, why is it? You know, you see it on social media. Where is it that the people that are very rich on this planet, they don't go to church? Have you asked that question before? That's the reason. That mandate was given to the Adamic man, the first man. Hallelujah. So if you are born again or you are not born again, you can be rich. Because, and you can subdue. But there is a dimension you don't get to in the spirit. There are sins you can never handle. You can't touch that area until the experience of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So Adam rose up, and God rose up, and the two of them smiled at each other. There was no difference. There was no difference. Because what made God, God, he gave to man. Everything that made him create heaven and earth, he deposited inside man. And that thing that entered into Adam made him what? A replica of God. And everybody started looking at them. And God said, don't worry, don't worry. There is no confusion here. I'm still God. Don't worry. He's my representative. And Adam too, he knew his boundary. Hallelujah. And God told Adam, he said, let's try an experiment. Hallelujah. And what was the first experiment? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Follow me systematically this morning. The Bible says, and the Lord said, it is no good that the man should be alone. No, give me 19. Yeah. It says, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them. Are you following me? And brought them. And brought them. Hey. To Adam. To see what he would call them. Do you understand the meaning of that? God left every other thing. God said, wow. This guy looks like me. And everything that is in me, I have put inside him. He said, let's do an experiment before we go back to heaven. He said, hey, what's the experiment? He said, Adam, come. Then the Lord brought everything and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Do you understand that meaning? You know, I was reading a commentary. The guy is very humorous. And you know what he said? He said, when God brought animals to Adam, he brought them. The first one he brought was hippopotamus. When Adam looked at it, Adam said, this one shall be called hippopotamus. He brought another one. Adam, look at it. He said, this one shall be. Go and check every animal. They behave according to their name. Every animal. Go and check the origin of their names. They behave according to their names. God, Adam, look at him. Adam said, you shall be called antelope. He said, so, after some time, he was tired. He sat down. He not started naming animals. So after that, he brought lion. He was tired. Then he shall be called lion. He doesn't have big grammar again. So finally, they brought ants. He said, this one shall be called ants. They brought another cow. He said, this one shall be called ox. At that time, Adam was tired. Hallelujah. But God still stood up. God said, okay, no problem. This one ox, this one hippopotamus. But this one looks bigger than this one. Now, why don't you use the word ox hippopotamus? He said, no. Ox is okay. And God said, okay, I agree. Whatsoever Adam called them, that was the name thereof. You cannot argue with a God. Even God couldn't argue with a God. God couldn't argue with himself. Read your Bible. God didn't curse Abraham. God didn't curse Adam. Do you understand? He pronounced curses on the woman. He pronounced curses on the serpent. He couldn't. He cannot. Why? Because every time he looked at Adam, he saw himself. He looked at Adam. He said, guy, cursed is the land for your sake. He can't curse him. Because every time he wants to get angry, he saw himself. He said, okay, no problem. Who said to it, that man was born of God. He was God. He was God.
No replica. No difference. Exact copy. I'm taking you somewhere this morning. I want to set your brain so that you have an understanding of what it means. When we say be born again, it's not a facade. Hallelujah. It's not. It's a necessity to survive on earth. It's not just to go to heaven. If it's to go to heaven, you get born again and you go to heaven that minute, you rapture that minute. Why are you still here? Because you must overcome something. So finally, man fell. And when man fell, there was chaos on earth. What did God do? God didn't fight him. God just took what he gave to him, called the Holy Ghost. He withdrew him from the man. And man became what he was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and 28. Can he still dominate? Yes. Can he still overcome? Yes. In fact, I'm sure you know that perpetually now, U.S. has submarines all over, strategically positioned all over the world, and men are living inside it. So men stay there for 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. They don't come down. They don't come out. They may never see the surface. Throughout. I'm sure you know. Now, there are men in space, in the space stations. Every given point in time, there are men in space station hovering around you half and sending signals down to the half. Man has dominated all those places. But yet, there is something man could not undo. That was the devil. The only thing that puts the world and the system of the world under the care of man so that man can dominate it is what? What do you think can do that? Is the Spirit of God in man that can handle it. There is that dimension. So that somebody is not born again and is wealthy, no problem now. It's an Adamic mandate. If he's not wealthy, something is wrong with him. He can work hard and get money. No problem about that. But there is a dimension he will get to that everything that has to do with the normal man can no longer push him. There's a zone in the spirit. It doesn't matter how effective your microscope is, you cannot see a demon. It doesn't matter how smart. It doesn't matter whether it's magnified 1 million times. There are things you cannot see. I was praying for somebody in the course of the week. I said, sir, there is a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, I'm hearing voices. So I said, okay, no problem. Let me send you a scripture. Later that day, she sent me a message. She said, this sound didn't stop. Oh. You understand? You know, I didn't understand what was happening. And I said, okay, no problem. And I called her. I said, what is it? I said, how are you hearing the thing? He said, the way I'm hearing you. I said, you mean audibly? He said, that's what I'm telling you. Eh? You are hearing audibly? He said, yes, sir. I said, that one, no problem. Call me by so time. Let's quickly deal with that one. Do you understand? Eh? You go to the hospital, you tell your doctor, I'm hearing a sound. Somebody is talking, and I'm hearing. Say, if I'm sitting in front of you now, I'm hearing. What will your doctor do? Doctor will just say, excuse me. You will see two men will come inside and tie you to the chair. They wheel you straight to Arrow and go and tie you down somewhere. Do you understand? Why? There is a dimension. There is a systematic operation of the devil that science cannot handle. There is a dimension. So God knows. God said, okay, no problem. Let's quickly deal with it. How can we do this? What measure do we put in place? You know the story of salvation. Now let me quickly show you something. I want you to understand where I'm going this morning. John chapter 3. Let me quickly read this story for you. Look at the CV of a man. So that peradventure that is your CV this morning, you must change your mind. John chapter 1. I want to read from verse... John chapter 3. John 3 from verse 1. I want to read from verse 1 to 7 quickly. Now, the Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Do you understand the meaning of that? One day, I'm going to teach you about the Sadducees and Pharisees. I will show you from history who they were. Hallelujah. And the Sanhedrins. This guy was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the law. He knows Bible back and front. He can quote everything there. He knows it. And those people that are Pharisees, apart from well-read, being well-read, they are knowledgeable, they are wealthy, they control the temple, they dictate what happens in government. They are that powerful. So this one came to Jesus. Look at what he said. He says, the same came to Jesus by night. That's why, have you heard this word before, Nicodemusly? Have you heard it before, Nicodemusly? So he came to Jesus, Nicodemusly, by night. Hallelujah. And he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now pause. Do you understand this scripture? He came to Jesus and then he told him, I'm rich, I am wealthy, I have influence with the government, I have everything I need. He said, but there is a dimension about you, Jesus, that I don't understand. He was a pastor. He said, but there is yet something I don't understand about you, Jesus. And Jesus said, what is that? He said, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Are you following me now? Do you understand where we are going now? He said, what is happening around you? He's different. You know, he looked at himself. Jesus doesn't meet with them in the temple. He is not in Aso Rock. He doesn't go there. But yet, every problem, he has solution. Hallelujah. You must understand why you are born again. Hey. There is a zone in the spirit that is only you that can step there. It's only you. I don't know who preached born again to you. I don't know what the lies they told you. But it is something so powerful that will make you effective and efficient anywhere you are found. Yes, Julius. Okay, Julius followed me for a ministration on Friday. And when we finished that ministration, they all told, I wanted to leave, right? They said they have questions. You can you imagine preaching? And you finish preaching. So people said they want to ask questions. I said, okay, let's take the question. And you know the question? They said, sir, why do you talk like this? What do you read? What do you study? Where did you get all these things from? Until you start entering that zone, you are still like them. He said, for no man do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He said, no man talks like this. No man behaves like this. No man has this level of intelligence. You are still thinking at their level. That is why you are like them. Hey. Don't open your heart and your eyes to who you are today. Go ahead. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, pastor, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yeah. And that guy, you know, he couldn't understand. He was wondering. As intelligent, as knowledgeable as he was, if you are to rate that man in our current day society, you will call him a man with a PhD in religious studies. That's who he was. PhD in CRK. Habi. Jesus now told him, except a man be born again. Go ahead now. He says, Nicodemus said unto him, bros. Jesus, you have come with your parable again. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Same God, pastor. Are you hearing, pastor? He asked Jesus. He said, I said, give me the secret. You say I should be born again. He's not looking, you understand? It doesn't make sense. And then teach me how you know these things that you know. You are saying I should be born again. If you want to confuse me, why are you trying to confuse me? Listen. Verse 5. Jesus answered, hey, bros, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the capital spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This guy was looking at him. Go ahead. Verse 6. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Genesis chapter 1. That man was born of the flesh. He was a soul that was not living. He was a soul. With all his intelligence, with everything in the ordinary Adam, he was an ordinary Adam. Empty Adam. He was flesh. But Jesus now said, look, that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is small letter spirit. That which is born, again, receives a deposit of the Spirit of God that makes him a living soul. He said, Mr. Man, you are a dead man. Even though you are walking. Go ahead. Go ahead. Verse 7. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. I'm going somewhere. Verse 8. Verse 8. Now, Jesus wants to confuse him more. Abi? Same is a teacher of the law. He's a pastor. He's a prophet. PhD in Bible knowledge. Abi? Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He said, so this is what I'm talking to you. He said, wind. You know, the man became very, very confused. He now said, look, the wind bloweth. What does it mean? The wind here is the Greek word pneuma, that means spirit. He said, when you get the kind of life that I get, when you have what I have, you become a spirit. You tell me, they don't see you, but they cannot deny your effect. They may not like your face, but they can't stop you. You have become a wind. Everywhere you go, you must leave a deposit of an effect. They can't touch you again. They can't handle you. Everywhere you go, you overcome. Why? Because you are no longer operating like a flesh. You are operating as a spirit. You see, that is why you need to be born of the Spirit. I'm showing you who you are and who you should be. So when they said be born again, you may have money the same way this guy has money. You may have influence the same way he had influence. You may have the ears of the government the same way he had. You may be in charge of a church as a pastor. It is irrelevant. You may have double PhD in Bible religious knowledge. You may understand Greek and Hebrew. If you are not born of the Spirit, you are flesh. He that is flesh, born of the flesh, is flesh. But this man that I'm introducing to you, that's why I'm able to do what I do. He is called Spirit. He that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Wow. And you know it was John that recorded this. Are you following me, the story now? It was John that recorded it. And did they understand? It was only John that understood what it means to be born again. I'll show you now. Only John. Every other person, they didn't. He recorded it. That's why you, in this account, you see it in details like this, only in the Gospel of John. Be born again. Be born of the Spirit. So finally now, John now told us, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, they now wondered that everything Jesus did, John did. You know, there was a time they gathered around Jesus. They took him to the mountain. They said, we'll kill him today. They took him to the top of the mountain. The Bible says their plan was to cast him down from the pinnacle of the mountain. And they took him there. The Bible says when they got there, he walked in the midst of them and walked away. They couldn't see him. Every question they asked him, he had the correct question to answer. They couldn't contain his wisdom. He was operating in another dimension. Wine finished. He converted water to wine. Bible records about four blind men that they brought to Jesus. He healed them four different ways. That's the man that is born of the Spirit. Everything they tried to kill Jesus. They couldn't. Who killed Jesus? Church? Should I shock you? Who killed Jesus? Huh? The church. Who killed Jesus? Nobody. You know why? He said, nobody take my life. I lay it down. And I pick it up again. That's a man that is born of the Spirit. Every man that died needed somebody to wake them up. He needed somebody to intervene. He needed somebody to intercede. He needed Jesus to lay hands. Abi, everybody that died needed a miracle to come out. What miracle brought Jesus out? Nobody. He came out. That's why Psalm 24 said, lift up your head, O ye gates. You know why? Because there are gates. Once you cross to that side, that gate is locked against you. You can't return. You can't. That gate is shut. Except somebody intercede on this side to open that gate and bring you out. Isn't it? When they saw Jesus coming, they said, yes, where is your passport? Who gave you permission to return? Nobody is interceding for you on the other side. Jesus said, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Nobody taketh my life. I lay it down and I take it up again. That's a man that is born of the Spirit. You can't stop him. You can't limit him. He has become wind. You are a wind. You are an enigma. You remember that word? You are an enigma. They can't understand you. When they think they have kept you here, you show up there. When they think they are plotting to stop you and cast you into prison, you come out and become their king. What do you think happened on that day? When they enter class, you remember? In the book of Psalm 109 told us, he said, Joseph became the teacher of senators. Now, you know the name of one of the senators? His name was Potiphar. They thought he was in prison. And they came to class and they saw him as their teacher. And he said, Potiphar, the Bible says he taught the senators wisdom. He said, Mr. Potiphar, can you define wisdom for us, stupid man? Why? When they thought they have caged him, he came out at the other side. That's who you are. That's what it means to be born of God. There is that dimension of authority and power that works with a man that is born of the Spirit. He is wind. You can't explain him. You can't express him. When they say there is no way, road opens for him. Hallelujah. Are you learning something this morning? Quickly, I'll take a little of your time now. How do I know that I am born of God? That's where Christians miss it. How do I know that I am born of God? And I'm going to, everything I'll show you is from the book of that First John. You'll see him now. You will know he understood it. Number one, those who are born of God confesses and receives Jesus. That's number one. 1 John chapter 2 verse 23. 1 John 2 23. I will need you to open very fast for me now. He said, whosoever denied the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son has the Father. That's a man that is born again. That is born of the Spirit. 1 John chapter 4 verse 15. I want you to look at all these characteristics in your life, so you will know if you are born again or not. 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. That's number one. Number two. These are characteristics of the man that is born of God. Number two. Those who are born of God believe that Jesus is the Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. First John chapter 5, verse 1. And this is the record that God, verse 1, not 11, verse 1, 5, 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you understand? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Then you are born of God. John was telling us all this. Hallelujah. He said to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed and the anointing. That's Christ. Jesus Christos. Hallelujah. I'm sure you know that Christ is not his surname. Christ is his office. His name is Jesus Joseph. Not Jesus Christ. But Christ is his office. So we call him Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. His office is called the Christ. Number 3. Those who are born of God now, this is the critical part, possesses the Spirit of God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 24. Look at John, taking us systematically now. 1 John 3, 24. It says, and he that keepeth the commandment dwelleth in him. Hallelujah. And he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Hallelujah. But those people ask me, they say, sir, what do you read? How do you study? Is it the same Bible? I said, it's the same Bible. He said, how do you study it? He said, honestly, that's our only question. And I told them, I said, if I answer your question, I will start another series of sermon. I won't leave here today. Hallelujah. But the simple secret is this. There is a spirit in man. Job 32, verse 8, amplified. Job 32, I showed them this scripture. They started shouting in amplified. Look at it in amplified. It says, but there is a vital force, a spirit of intelligence in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him an understanding. There is a vital force. Oh. The spirit of intelligence. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Wow. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. He breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Are you conscious of your environment? We went somewhere to minister. I remember, Abraham, you remember, about 2 years ago. And when we came back, Abraham says, I want to ask you a question. He said, where that place was just looking so much? But immediately you collected the microphone, the environment changed. He said, how did you do it? There is an impartation of a spirit. Hey, I don't know how to explain these things. In you, that has made you superhuman. You are better than Superman. Why is it that when Superman comes here, he's stronger and he does things that we cannot do here? Why? Time will not permit me to finish John chapter 3 for you. Why? Have you ever asked yourself? Because Superman is not from this planet. Where he came from, they don't know limits. They don't know limitation. He came from another planet. You are not from here. You are from another planet. Jesus told John, he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He said, he that is from above is above all. You are here, but you are not from here. Why? There is a spirit in man. A vital force. I've shared it with you before. I've told you that in 2003, you remember in the US, they took light for the first time. in Washington D.C. and there was commotion everywhere. Cars were jamming. You know, everything abroad is controlled by electricity. And people thought there was a problem. And people thought the world want to end. 60, 70 year old men, they have never witnessed, experienced light out. May God deliver Nigeria. You won't say a better amen. 70 year old man has never seen light out. So everybody started crying. In the US, everybody crying. Commotion. They said the world is about to end. And everybody started, there was a big stampede. People died. Heavy stampede. People died. But they now noticed something. You know the Statue of Liberty. Everybody saw the Statue of Liberty. There was light all over that wicked woman. You know the Statue of Liberty, right? In the US, in Washington, D.C. There was light all over her. With her torch and light. So everybody started running towards her. That's the only place where there was light in the whole of Washington, D.C. So everybody ran there. Sorry, the whole of New York. So everybody ran to that place and hang around her. At least there is light here. We don't know what is happening. Some demonic forces want to take over our land. And people started crying. And people were dying. Stampede. Hallelujah. So a few hours later, they restored the light. But they couldn't understand why there was darkness in New York. And there was light in the Statue of Liberty. Guess what? They didn't find out until 10 years later. You know what they discovered? They discovered that the power of that Statue of Liberty was not connected to the grid. To the electricity grid of New York. You know where it was connected to? To another state. The state of Pennsylvania. You are from here. You are not powered from here. What is happening here cannot touch you. Who told you? You are not from here. You are just here. They just borrow you flesh to live here for some time. There is a spirit that powers you. When there is darkness all around, what did the Bible says? It said there will be light unto the upright. Psalm 112 verse 4. It said unto the upright, there ariseth light. Darkness. He said there was darkness. God's darkness shall cover the heart, but the Lord shall arise for you. You are not from here. You are powered for Pennsylvania. You don't use AEDC. Ah! Thank God, but my Lord is not in church today. Number four. Those who are born of God, they practice righteousness. They practice what? Righteousness. 1 John chapter 2 verse 29. I'm not going outside 1 John. John understood this thing. Hey! 1 John chapter 2 verse 29. 1 John chapter 2 verse 29. Quickly. I still have a long way to go. He said, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. How do you know that you are born again? Hallelujah. If it is only, should I say it? Eh? Are you sure? You will not be angry with me. Okay. If it is only all of this music that you know, and you don't know to see who you come, something is wrong with your born again. Is that as you say it now? And I've said it now. He says, can you sing Tanners of My Spirit? Say, AIT or Tanners. Something is wrong with your born again. When the only thing that excites you is party time. Abi? Do you understand? And you come to church, we beg you. Chandels of My Spirit. Single, praise the Lord. Shake your body. But when you hear giggling, gum, aha. Aha. I didn't say anything. I didn't call any name. Number five. Those who are born of God, keep God's commandments. Sin is still sin. Righteousness is still righteousness. Those who are born of God keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 3 verse 24. Look at John. He understood this thing. 1 John chapter 3 verse 24. It says, and he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. Does that make sense? 1 John chapter 2 verse 4. 1 John chapter 2 verse 4. Do you keep God's commandments? Do you obey him? Or are you of the class of people that say 10 commandments is no longer relevant? No problem. Say, he that said, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He didn't miss words. He's an old man, so you can't crucify him. They have tried to kill him, he didn't die. So he could tell them the blank truth. Number next, 6, right? Those who are born of God walk the way Christ walked. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He said, he that seeth the abidance in him ought himself also to walk even as Christ walked. Do you walk the way he walks? Or you have gotten your own walking step from the world? Number 7. I want to finish up now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. Let me read it in the message so that I can drive home the point well. 1 John, chapter 3, verse 6. Number next, that's number 7, right? Those who are born of God, they don't make a practice of sinning. Listen carefully to my word. They don't make a practice of sinning. They are not habitual sinners. Once in a while, you may have challenges. No problem. A little flash of anger here, a little slapping of face there. No problem. We understand. But they don't make it a habit. Now, listen carefully to this. Look at it in the message. It says, no one who lives deeply in Christ makes a practice of sin. That's those who are born of God. Number 8. Those who are born of God don't hate others. They are not haters. John told us. 1 John chapter 2 verse 9. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 9. He said, anyone who claims to live in God's light and hates a brother or sister is still in the dark. He's telling us lies. He's not born again. Have you heard Christians say, I hate that man with a passion? You are not born again. I'm telling you today. Maybe your pastor didn't. And finally, 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4. For whosoever, whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. Everyone born of God overcomes. Malachi says, my enemy, don't laugh at me. When I fall, I will rise again because I am born of God. We don't lose in this kingdom. We are winners. I heard the story of a chef. Two chefs. They work in a particular restaurant. The two of them. I'm done now. I'm through. They work in a particular restaurant. Two of them. They can cook anything. Hallelujah. And they work in that restaurant. So one day, one of the chefs had a visitor. Very important visitor from his village. And he didn't have any money. They have not paid salary. He didn't have any savings. There was nothing he had to entertain his visitors. So you know what he did? He looked right. He looked left. And he discovered nobody was coming. And he was the one in charge of the chicken. So he took one chicken. Wrapped it very well in nylon bag. And put it inside his pocket. So he gathered remnants, some chickens that were left over that they were supposed to throw away. That were still okay. He packaged it inside another leather bag. When he got to the gate, Clinton and Benga were standing. They were supposed to check them to make sure he didn't come out with anything. Are you following me? He said, my friend, and they were laughing as he was coming. He said, I brought meat for you today. Some of the leftovers. I know you guys must have been tired from the morning. They said, Sean, sir, restrictions. I'm not calling anybody. Restrictions. They collected chicken from him. They didn't. He said, "Are you not going to check me?" They said, "Go, go, bros, go." They didn't check him, so he went home. Ah, says so, now so easy to steal self. Can you imagine? So he went home, prepared the chicken, entertained his guests. So he returned back, but he was feeling bad. So he returned back to the hotel and continued his work. 2 days later, as he was about to go, 4 o'clock, another chef, the second chef, was supposed to take over from him from 4 to 10. And as he was going, the other chef just called him, said, "Bros, can you help me to cover my shift?" He said, "Cover your shift, okay?" "Why?" He said, "I've been here since morning. Morning shift is the longest. For you to just stay 4 o'clock to, and you're not complaining." He said, "No, I'm busy. I'm going home. I had a visitor." That one too. I said, "I have a visitor too." He said, "Then we all have visitors." And then attend. He said, "He said, Bros, come." He now came back. He said, "2 days ago, as you were going home, you took chicken. I saw you." "Yeah." "I said, I saw you." "So you saw me. Which chicken?" "He said, I saw you. That you package. You now wrap it, put it inside your bag. You now carry all this remnant to go and bribe the people at the gates. I will cover your shift." So he covered the shift. 3 days later, as he was about to go, 4 o'clock, the guest, bros. "Honestly, there is this Chelsea match. Champions League. Hey, I can't miss it." He said, "Ah! Because of match, you will now do your duty." He said, "Yes." He said, "So you help me do my duty because I want to watch that match." He said, "Ah! No." He said, "Remember the chicken." He said, "Go. Okay, go." 3 days later, he was about to step at 4 o'clock. He said, "I hope you will help me cover my duty." He said, "What?" "Remember the chicken." Huh? After 2 weeks of walking from morning to night, he has nearly collapsed now. That day, he just stood up and he went to the general manager. He says, "I have a confession." And I want to say, what's the problem? He said, "Honestly, there was a challenge. I had a visitor, I didn't have money, and I stole one chicken." He said, "So please, I know you are going to deal with me." He said, "But the problem is this. You can remove it from my salary. Even if you say you will remove, I don't have salary, no problem." He said, "But honestly, please, I just came to report myself." General manager said, "You did that, but you are the one in charge of the chicken now." He said, "Yes, and you still stole it." The general manager said, "I've never met such an honest man. I promote you to be my assistant from today. Go and be in charge of every other thing." He said, "You don't mean it, sir. You're not punishing me." He said, "No." He said, "What about that chicken?" He said, "In fact, go today, take a carton. I will call them at the gate and tell them you are coming out with a carton." He said, "What?" So as he was going home, when he was about to, his friend came. He said, Bros. "Honestly, I didn't sleep very well overnight. Honestly, I need to rest. The doctor said I should rest. So honestly, I just said, let me tell you, so that you have to cover my shift." He said, I won't. "Ah. So you help me now?" He said, "No, I will not. I won't." He said, "Bros, remember the chicken." He said, "Which chicken?" "Huh?" He said, see this one, no? "Which chicken?" "If you don't cover my shift, today, all your secrets will be exposed." He said, "I don't know the chicken you are talking about." "Hey!" He said, "I'm going to the GM. He said, "Go." "Huh?" He said, "I will even follow you." "Are you sure?" He said, "Let's go." When they got to the gate, to the door, he was about to, he said, "The chicken, no. The chicken." He said, "Go, enter." So they enter. And when they got to, the GM said, "No problem. My chefs, you're welcome. What happened?" He said, "Sir, 2 weeks ago, this man stole a chicken. He's the one in charge of chicken. You can't trust him. He's a very, very dishonest man. He stole a chicken, wrapped it very well, packaged it, thinking nobody saw him. I saw him. But honestly, for the past 2 weeks, I've been keeping quiet that I will not report him. I've been playing along with him. But today, my conscience don't allow me. So I said I must report. Because if not, he can bring down this organization." The GM said, thank you very much.
I know.
He now faced the other man. He said, you are his organ now. Do whatever you want to do with him. Rise up on your feet. The chairman is Jesus. You are that man that they have been remembering the chicken. I don't know whether you have been born again before, but you have an issue that the devil is always flashing at you. Come forward now. Come, let's deal with it. Come and report the case and become the Lord of the devil. Are you in that position? You may have been born again. You understand? Come for a restitution. Are you in that position? Come forward. Hallelujah.